from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Yes, we are back with a ton of news to get through today. Should teens be in charge of making sure you wear a mask? Are people without kids picking up the slack for parents while we all work from home? And we'll tell you why Washington State University wants to charge parents more than $10,000 for something their students may never use. But right now, let's get to the show. Well, good morning. I missed you, Ursula.
I missed you, too. But as you know, even when we're apart, we're still together because we're texting.
Yeah, that's because you won't stay off your phone, Ursula.
Nope, I think you were the one that first broke that.
Yeah.
I think that happened on Thursday.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're starting off our show with what happened last week with the person that was killed on the freeway, protester that was killed on the freeway, and the driver who was, they were killed. And then, of course, another person was critically injured. And Ursula, first of all, before we get into this topic, I just want to say that I feel horrible for the family, for the loved ones of those that, for the person that passed away. It's just heartbreaking that that happened.
It is. And yeah, you were going to say, and I think you were going to say what I am about to say, which is,
go ahead.
Last week,
yeah,
we were asking why protesters were being allowed on the freeway, which is something that hasn't been allowed in the past, where the state patrol has said, you are breaking the law and we're not going to allow that. But this time they took a different approach. And we worried last week before this all happened, we worried that, you know, what's happening? Are they going to wait until something horrible happens?
Right. And of course, now, like you said, like now they won't allow it. And that was what we kept asking. I mean, we kept asking that, and we had Sully on our show, and we're asking him about it because he had conversation with Washington State Patrol. And look, we both were talking about, hey, look, we get what's being talked about. We get what's being protested. But this is the safety of the people down there. Like, this is something you cannot allow. And one of the, as we're talking about this, is the overlying question that I've had, and I couldn't wait to ask you today, was this. Why does it seem like leadership or decision makers are waiting until something happens, right? Like, you're waiting for something to happen in the case of I-5. You're waiting for something to happen in the case of CHOP. Is this on purpose, Ursula? Are they purposely doing this so that we, the citizens, can say, hey, okay, put a stop to this? It's like they have to have a reason to go and make these things happen. And I hate that we're talking about this because I wish that nobody would have died or been critically injured. But we are talking about this. And in my opinion, I truly feel like a life could have been saved because that should have never been allowed in the first place.
Lives could have been saved, whether it was CHOP or whether it's what happened on I-5. So just to give additional details, you heard from Aaron's newscast that the motive is still not known. We don't know if this was intentionally done. However, the driver did have to go through barricades because the state patrol had actually barricaded the freeway because these nightly protests were happening. So to try to keep the people who were protesting safe, they had actually set up barricades. But this driver was able to go around one barricade and then accelerated and struck Diaz Love and Summer Taylor, who were among this big crowd of protesters on the freeway. I mean, earlier in the evening, they were dancing. You could see. And in fact, Diaz Love was live streaming when they noticed that car driving toward them.
We're going to head back up. Yeah,
yeah,
for
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's truly horrific. And unfortunately, I did see the video where you could actually see them getting hit because Diaz Love's live stream ended, obviously, when she was getting hit and everything kind of gets really shaky and goes to black. But I did see the video, and I mean, that car was going at a very quick speed. And I'm shocked that Diaz Love was able to survive their injuries. So, but going back to why this happened, the State Patrol has got to be asking if that was the right move to say. And I think what's happened is that because there's this issue of police brutality or excessive use of force, or, you know, making it a priority for people to be able to express themselves. I get all that. But when you know that there is the possibility of something like this, the very strong possibility of something like this happening, why wait until it happens before you then decide what so many were saying the policy should have been in the first place, which is protesters are not allowed on the freeway.
Right. And that should have been it. I mean, again, last week, we only had a short week. It was 3 days. And I remember we had Sully on, and Sully had the conversation with Washington State Patrol. And both you and I, we kept asking, why are they allowing this? And I even talked about how sometimes with eyesight, people with, and we don't know the motive of this person. I mean, we haven't found that out on why this person did it. If they did it on purpose, they did it on an accident. I mean, the rate of speed that this person was going, you just kind of wonder. And then there is the next part of the conversations that we need to have right now, is the part that probably weighed on me heavy yesterday, Ursula, when I started to see the response to all of this online. Mm-hmm. First, let me just go ahead and be clear. The first response on there was, well, this was some right wing wacko. That was the first thing that I personally saw, right?
This being the driver?
The driver, right. I'm just telling you what I saw, right? And so, of course, I mean, I understand social media, and I understand how people just weigh in on opinions and usually just read headlines and don't get into the story. And then you had a lot of people saying those things, and then we come to find out who the person was. And so we know that the person's black, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we see that. So then what ends up happening is that now the conversation is about that, right? Is back and forth and who done it and people having the wrong information. And then you continue on, and then the just nastiness of the comments and some happy that someone was killed out there. It really weighed heavy on me yesterday, Ursula.
That was a shock. And when I say a shock, should I be shocked with what happens on social media? I always try to tell myself it's just the minority. It's just a few crazy people who say things like natural selection at work, or will say, well, you know, if you play on the freeway, what do you expect? Or, you know, maybe we should charge the protesters with assault because they assaulted a vehicle.
Real quick on that point, because we have people texting in those exact same points while we're talking right now.
Are you serious?
Yes. The driver who drove onto the freeway drove the wrong way onto the Stewart Street off-ramp.
Yes.
It is impossible to get on that off-ramp without noticing that it is not a freeway entrance. That is a one-way street right there that you have to drive on to get onto it. He drove through barricades. No, we do not know the motive, but these people were not, like, playing in traffic, right?
But you could
cannot
see them
do that unintentionally.
Let's just say even if they were dancing around, which there are videos of them, you know, they were looking like they were enjoying themselves, you know, on the freeway doing a line dance, just, you know, shortly before this happened. Even if that were the case, and even if you are vehemently opposed to what they were doing on the freeway, should you be saying they got what they deserved, or likening this to bowling?
Yeah.
I mean, the callousness of what I saw, it was like, please, Lord, tell me that this is just the minority.
Well, you would think, yes, I'm going to go ahead and say yes, it is the minority. And I would also say, yes, the majority of people making these nasty comments are usually hidden or usually don't put their profile name up there. And or maybe they don't have a job in which it would really matter. Well, you do have certain situations where that's not true. But Ursula, you would think that like no matter what, you still there's still human decency, right? Even if you don't agree, you can agree to disagree, all that. You still don't want anyone to lose their life. And in this case, someone lost their life. And now, again, the nastiness of the comments has really just taken this to another level.
Well, absolutely. When you say another level, then we come to find out that some of those weighing in with horrific Facebook comments include people in law enforcement, which to me, I was like, wait a minute. Are you telling me that this is the sentiment by some? In particular, there was a King County Sheriff's detective who was weighing in and said things like, I see that there was some spreading of COVID on I-5. Or, you know, had talked about what was the other thing? The other post is
all lives splatter. All lives splatter. Keep your ASS off the road. And there's actually
I tried to block that one from my head.
It's actually a vehicle hitting someone. I mean, so I look at it two ways, right? Two ways. One, I look at it like, wow, I can't believe someone from law enforcement would think it was okay to post that. But then I think, on the other hand, wow, I can't believe that someone in law enforcement thinks that way. But then the totality of everything is this. And here's the truth, Ursula. It doesn't matter what profession that people have. There are just some bad people in the world all over. Like no one profession holds the keys to really bad people. Unfortunately, what we have been continuing to talk about with law enforcement is here's the bad part, is that some of the bad folks or the bad apples, as they say, they continue to do these things because the good apples, it's really tough for them to say something because of the system and the core of everything is not good. So
well, after I saw that, okay. And I will tell you, other people saw it, and then we're starting to get on this particular detective's Facebook page, and we're calling him out, showing the screenshots. I did reach out to someone that I know in the sheriff's office, and I said, "Is this okay with you guys?" And he said, "Absolutely not," and it is subject of a complaint now. But I guess, you know, for our listeners, especially, you know, there are some apparently weighing in with some of those same sentiments. Is that truly how you feel in your heart? And I guess when I ask that question, whether it's law enforcement, if a teacher were to post something like that, I would just look and go, if that were someone teaching my kid, I would not be okay with that. But I think in the event of someone who's in law enforcement, you have duties and responsibilities. And if that is your overall feeling about something, and of course you're allowed to have your own feelings, but if you are expressing that and you wonder why people have some distrust, I mean, is it any wonder? And again, my mind, and as you know, G, I always say, this is not how most people feel. This is not how most people in law enforcement feel. I have friends who are police officers.
Sometimes when we're talking, Ursula, about all this stuff, both you and I sound like broken records, right?
100%.
We sound like broken records because that's how we talk about it. We got to clarify our comments. We got to qualify our comments. And it's, hey, most aren't. I think we all agree with that. Most aren't in that profession. Most aren't as people. So some of the nastiness of someone texting our text line saying that they should have been hit. Most people in society don't act that way. But here's the rub. The rub is that when someone in law enforcement or when folks do these things and say these things and act that way, Are they held accountable? And that is what needs to change, is when bosses come out and say, hey, citizens, this here is not right. Or will it be blown off, and will it be protected, and will it be hidden, or will you pretend like none of those things happened? That these are the things that we're going to be finding out going forward. And you know what I think, Ursula?
What?
I think it's a new world going forward. I think the coronavirus really has woke up the consciousness of America. People have time. Usually, most of the time, it's like, hey, everybody's going on with their day. They're going to get their coffee. They go to work. Well, things are changing now. The topics that we're talking about are different. We're going to be talking about people staying home and not going to school. Parents not being able to go to work because their kids can't go to school. People have time now to look at these topics that we've been talking about for so many years. But all of a sudden, they're sticking now. Well, they're sticking now because we're in phase one and phase two across the country. We don't go anywhere now. We are examining things now differently than we did before. There is a new America going forward. And I got to tell you, yes, some of the news makes it heavy on me, but I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that there are some good people that are waking up and finally saying, you know what? That's not right.
I mean, there were a lot of people jumping on this, I will say, and they were calling it out and taking the time. But again, I mean, I look at it too as, yeah, the coronavirus, and it has slowed everyone down. But I think there are a lot of people who are also feeling empowered to, you know, put out some of these things because maybe they do have time. They're bored, want to provoke some sort of reaction. I am with you, and I hope that the majority they're realizing that this is not right and we've got to change.
It's a lot of, I got to tell you again, I try to look at the glass being half full, and that's how I look at it. That's why I mention and use words such as being encouraged, Ursula, because the truth is there are a lot of people in our country that are courageous. Have way more courage than me, because you know what? There's been times in my past, Ursula, that I've just, quote, kind of just shut up and just kind of pretend like and kind of play it cool because I don't want to rub anybody the wrong way, or I don't want to be seen as a troublemaker, and I don't want to. And so there's a lot of things that I've written down in my life over the years that these stories that I will tell. I will tell some of these stories, and sometimes people will be like, wow, that happened? Yeah, that happened. But sometimes you're not in situations where you can say anything. That's why the Me Too movement was so powerful. The Me Too movement for all of the moms and aunties and sisters that had to go to work and deal with that flirtatious boss that did whatever they wanted to do to them, but they had to suck it up because they had to keep their job to be able to pay bills for their kids. Yes, we are moving into a new, enlightened, awakened country.
I like it.
All right. 9:30. Are we going to get a little less heavy? Yes,
yeah.
We are. We're going to be talking about parents and how is work from home with kids working for you? I'll tell you how it's working for me. Ursula, you'll tell me how it's working for you. It's G and Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show on this beautiful Monday morning. Coming up around 50 minutes from now, many of you just returned from a road trip over the weekend. So here's a question for you. Who should do the driving on those trips, the man or the woman? G is going to be explaining why he thinks women should take the wheel.
Oh, you really had to lay that tease out like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But in your case, I would agree.
Prejudicial. Okay, go ahead.
Now, we want to talk about working from home with your kids. And this is a segment that we want to actually hear from you. So we want you to text us at 98973. We want to know, how is work from home with kids working out for you? And if you don't have children, do you have to pick up the slack for the parents? And the reason we're talking about this is a couple of things have happened in just the past week. Mm-hmm. Florida State University, first of all, instituted a policy that says that parents cannot work from home if they also have to take care of the kids. Basically, the university feels that too many childless employees are being forced to pick up the slack. And then there's this woman in San Diego who says she was fired because her boss was sick and tired of hearing her kids on conference calls. So I know. So one of us is working from home. That is you. You do not have young children. But
right.
Do you?
I got
you
Vito the cat.
Okay. So if Vito the cat was very needy, mm-hmm. or if you had younger kids at home, do you think there is something to be said? Do you think that it would be fair to somehow compensate the childless employees who would have to do more work because you are taking care of your children?
No, I think everybody should get the same amount of pay, and here's why. So, Ursula, I believe that it's on folks like me. By the way, I'm just joking about Vito. Vito does come over here and he sits down during the show. That's the truth. But I think that people who don't have little kids, or my kids are big now, they can take care of themselves. I haven't fed them in years. You know what I mean? Those kind of things. I think we need to pick it up for the parents that do have small kids, those going to daycare and little kids in school and things. And so, yes, I do think, but I think about others, right? Like, I think that's how it's supposed to be in the workplace. The same way that there was a time when I was younger and my kids were younger as well, I had to do different balancing acts to be able to go and get kids at a certain time. So yeah.
Could you understand, though, where there are people who say, look, you know, having kids is a choice. It's a choice that you made. So why should I be working more, you know, on your behalf when I didn't make that same choice and now I've got to do more work and I'm still getting paid the same?
Selfish people. You selfish people.
I'm just saying you're saying that's selfish to be thinking that way.
Absolutely. Selfish to be thinking that way. And then how about some of the folks who do the work? I mean, look, it's like me complaining. I mean, some of the work that I do here on the show is nowhere near compared to what you guys do. I don't complain. You guys do a lot of the work. I don't complain.
Well, how do you know we're not complaining?
Well, you probably are, but if you're,
I don't
you're
think
probably
we're not. But I
you
think
guys are probably
the question
complaining.
Isn't whether you're complaining. Of course, you're not complaining.
You guys are probably complaining to the guys that I complain about all the time, which is my bosses.
No, we don't. However, I'm trying to have some empathy for those people. I, you know, obviously had children.
Okay.
I've been here for a long time. There was a time I was working here when I didn't have kids. And it's true. You would have to, a lot of times the parents would call in sick because they had a sick child at home. There were some, I would argue, that really didn't have sick kids at home, but they used that as an excuse. And you have no way around that. I was also a manager having to deal with those sick call outs or those. And there were times when people would say, hey, you're not treating, it's not fair that this person gets that. So you have to at least recognize, I think, that there is a difference. I mean, I'm with you that I get it, you know, that if someone has young kids, I went through that phase. Mm-hmm. And you know, people help pick up for me, so I will do the same. But for those who are completely childless, never will have kids, I understand the frustration.
You should not have to pick up extra work because your fellow employees have kids.
There you go.
I'm sorry, like I have kids, and luckily this is a job in which like we don't have a project or, you know, a product shipping that we have to get, you know, it has a due date. It has to come out on time that other people would have to pick up for me doing. But I would absolutely not be okay picking up work for someone else because you have kids. And I realize that this is an unprecedented time and parents don't have the choice to work from home with their kids or not. But also I think it needs to be adjusted somewhere either in compensation or, hey, I know you've been doing a lot extra, so here's an extra flex day for you. Go ahead and take Friday off after it's over.
Yeah, I think that's where you as a manager could make the difference and say, hey, I understand. Thank you so much for you know, doing that extra work. You know, here is an extra day off. That is something that you can do.
Here's where we have made the mistakes in the past. And I'm glad we're having this conversation now. I like to be funny, but I want to be serious for a second right now. I'm glad we're having this conversation. And here's why. In the past, we parents neglected our kids for our careers. We neglected our kids to continue to make money. Our kids woke up in the morning. They said they were sick. We sent them to school anyway because we had to go to work. Our kids had a really bad day at school, and maybe some bully was picking on them. But you have some kind of big conference or some kind of planned meeting the next day, and you can't go up there and see about what's going on with your child. As parents, unfortunately, work has forced us to really neglect our kids, or we don't want to tell our boss that we have to go early because our kids called and said they're not feeling well and things like that. So that is the, as we transcend into these new America, which I believe after this pandemic we are going to be, I think these things need to be talked about and having a conversation. And so that's why I say, as someone whose kids are basically grown, I will pick up the slack for a parent who has small kids. I remember just a couple years ago, I was at an auction meeting, and this lady came in and she had a newborn. And during the auction meeting, she was breastfeeding during the meeting. And I thought to myself, I'm thinking during the meeting, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you breastfeeding?
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, good for her.
Well, I'm just letting you know selfishly how I thought about that. And then when I left, I'm thinking, well, why would you be upset about her breastfeeding that situation? So it was in that moment that I had to be better about it myself. So, again, this conversation is serious because there are a lot of parents out there that are out there with little ones, and they neglect their kids because of their career. And
I think you're right. The case of in San Diego where a woman says she was fired, if it's truly because her boss was just tired of hearing her kids on conference calls, I think she has a case against the boss if that in fact was the reason, because obviously she's being forced to work from home. You know, then you have to just really appreciate those employers who do make those accommodations, who are much more understanding. But
Ursula, I've been selfish this entire show.
Why is that?
Because I could not wait. Because I know coming up next, I am about to fight with you. Ursula, who should drive on a road trip?
Well, in my case, I always have my husband drive. I'll be honest.
No. And I'll tell you why it is better if she drives than me. It's the Gene Ursula Show. Welcome back into the Gene Ursula Show. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we have a conversation about what's fair. What is fair for colleges to ask parents and students to pay for next year? So you want to stick around for this conversation. But right now, Ursula and I, we are about to fight because sometimes there are disagreements that we have. And I think here is one of them. So, Ursula, I'll ask you, throw it right to you. Who should drive on road trips, the husband or the wife?
OK, if you ask it, who should? I would say there's no one who should. But in our household, my husband drives more often on the longer road trips, mostly because I tend to get sleepy and I like to relax. So I let him have that duty.
Wait.
It's not because I think he drives better or anything like that. It's just, to be honest, I like to crash out. And so if it's more than a 2 or 3 hour trip, he will happily take the wheel. And by the way, he tends to also be more critical when I'm driving. And I think for good reason. I think I'm a little more distracted than he is. However, I would say that he's such a mellow person, except when someone tries to pass him. I'm always asking him, like, why is it when you see someone's trying to pass or someone's trying to just that he actually speeds up? That's the only argument that we get into about his driving, because otherwise he drives impeccably.
Now,
okay, what about you?
I thought we were going to fight, but you said something that made us agree, and then hopefully Chef comes in and disagrees.
Okay,
what you said, he is the calm one. That's who I believe should drive. I believe the person who is the most calm, even keel, doesn't get emotional. Like you and I, yeah, you know, especially me. You know what I mean? I get. I might say
a few
things.
I'm usually even keel, but you are much more distractible, I think.
Much more. Yeah. And there's this thing, Ursula, called smartphones. And for some reason, it whenever I get in the driver's seat, it calls me. It's like, hey, what you doing? I'm like, no, I can't touch you. I can't touch you. Not while I'm driving. I'm not going to touch you while I'm driving.
First of all, it's not just when you're in the driver's seat. When we're doing our morning meetings, even at 7 o'clock in the morning, your phone is buzzing like crazy. I'm like, who is calling you or texting you at that time of the day?
Ursula, don't be putting our pre-show meeting business out in the streets. Can't tell everybody about that.
I know. So do you have your phone nearby? Because I think you would be a good candidate to have the phone away from you, as far away from you when you're driving.
Yes.
Because I'm betting that there are a lot of people who are flipping you off and such because you're probably...
No, I'm not. Nope, not at all. It's in the back seat. I'm done with that. But
oh, good.
In my case, it is better if Lillian drives. Now, the only thing is when Lillian drives, she drives in the left lane all the time.
I do that too.
in the left lane. And
yes,
I'm just thinking,
the left lane camper.
But here's
no.
the thing. I never say anything. I just continue riding. Yesterday we were on the freeway and we were in the left lane and it was this Mercedes that was behind us. For like a minute, I'm like, I know this dude is mad. Finally, she gets over to the right. That dude passes up. Lillian gets right back.
This is why you should be driving, G. I mean, maybe it's safer that she does because she might infuriate everyone, but you're more distractible. But I think men should be doing the driving.
Why? Should be.
Yeah. Should be. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I'm going to tell you because apparently everyone already thinks this. I'm going to tell you, I took a 3-hour road trip over the weekend. And passing hundreds and thousands of cars, it's like 90% men driving. I have this theory that it's the one area of society in which gender roles are absolutely steadfast. It is shocking if you see a woman driving and there's a man in the passenger seat and they look like a couple.
Huh.
It is so uncommon to see. And it just brought up this question, like, why is it like this?
Do you do all the driving?
Yes.
In your home? Okay,
because
yeah,
I'm so hypercritical of my wife's driving,
is
and
that
it will
right?
just cause a huge fight.
Okay, well, get this: the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says male drivers tend to have more total accidents than females
because they're driving more.
That could be the truth.
So I think this: as long as whoever's in the passenger seat understand that you have roles in what you should do. Number one. You're in charge of the aux, baby. Auxiliary cord.
Oh, yeah.
You're in charge of the music. You're in charge of the navigation.
That's true. That's good.
Now
how
I've
about
noticed.
Snacks?
Now, here's the thing. Because I'm so distracted on my phone, I notice Lillian always likes to do it herself. Like, here, just tell me where we're going. I'll do it myself. Because I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. We missed a turn because I'm not paying attention.
In other words, you're useless in the front seat.
Well, you're lazy in the front seat, right?
I just want to say this.
I don't want to sleep.
You know what? Thank you to my dear husband who lets me gently fall asleep.
This segment did not go like I thought it would. Coming up next, what's fair for colleges to ask parents and students to pay next year? Gene Ursula.